How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation. Hey everyone, Andrew here from A Tale of Two Hygienists. You know, the last couple of weeks we have heard ADHA President Betty Cable speak about the CE Pass and the courses and all the classes that are available at the ADHA annual conference. You know, to be honest, there are so many more things happening than just the classes. It is a great place for networking. You can find out about other subfields within our profession. Here is President-elect Tammy Filipiak to talk more about that.
This year's ADHA conference will also offer the opportunity to interact with more than 100 companies in the exhibit hall. Of course, we all know that you can learn so much from our vendors, and there's always lunch and free meals and a ton of free swag, which is always a plus. We also have cocktail parties. We have the 5K run walk, which was such a hit last year. Everybody's in the same hotel. I mean, this is just really the meeting that you want to invest in. No matter what point you're at in your career, you'll find great value throughout this conference. And I hope to see all of you in Jacksonville in June.
ADHA Annual Conference, a place for networking and connecting. Find out more by visiting ADHA.org and sign up today.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
All right, why are we recording ASAP?
Because, I don't know. I just feel like we lose a lot of our awesome stuff when we're not recording.
Like what just happened?
Like what? Pretty much. So in case we're going to keep this in the episode, let me just explain what happened. So listeners, as you know, Michelle and I always have some sort of technical difficulty, and it's very rarely user error, except for every time it really is user error. And so I got on, we do this GoToMeeting thing. I couldn't hear a word she was saying. And I said, I can't hear you. And then I'm pretty sure that was a giant F-bomb I saw you mouth. And then
maybe
she was trying to figure it out and her microphone just wasn't turned on. So, but she's okay. A big stupid face.
Oh, we are an amateur even after this many episodes. Like we do the...
Okay, so... this is going to be episode what, 73, right?
Sure.
And I think now is a good time, Michelle, to level set, to like re-explain to our listeners what to expect out of this podcast, because I feel like the last several months we've gotten a lot of new listeners, and I don't think that they've gone back to the very beginning.
Good.
And listen to the old stuff. Hey, thank you. Yes, exactly. And I feel like we need to kind of explain to them and maybe back to ourselves, like, what are we trying to accomplish here? Like, what's the whole point of this podcast?
Pretty much we're just winging it, right?
Every time.
We are the unofficial podcast for a reason, because I'm currently drinking wine, which is pretty much a staple on this podcast. So there's rarely any kind of professionalism.
When Michelle and I are talking together, then yes, there's almost zero professionalism.
Our interviews are super professional.
They're amazing. And I guess your segment at the very end, though, is actually really professional, too, because it's literature that's, you know, peer-reviewed. They're in academic journals and things like that.
Okay, so we're halfway professionalism.
So probably half the episode is decently important.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That seems fair.
Okay.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Not you and I. And nobody should ever mistake that we would be professional.
But we're just having fun. And this is awesome. And I love it. So it's going to keep happening somehow, whether you're there or not, listener. So,
yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Somehow it made us to number one in the medical category of iTunes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Well, it's not somehow. Let's be honest. Let's give credit where credit is due. It's because of Kara's episode.
Yeah.
Like almost single-handedly. Like Kara, that was such a good episode and everyone loved it. We got a lot of great feedback from our friends and people we've never listened to before or never heard from before, have made comments about how great that episode was. So, yay.
Yay.
Thanks, Kara.
And thanks, new listeners. That's awesome.
Do you know how many podcasts are in that category?
No.
Or at least what they rank to. They do, so every week they do the top 200 of them.
Okay.
Or I don't know if it's every week or every day, or because we were on it for several days in a row. I'm just not sure if they just reset after we weren't getting several hundreds of downloads every day. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but guess what number we are at now?
10.
No.
125.
Worse.
Wait a second. How many? 200 or?
Keep going.
We're 199.
200 or 179.
Ah.
Yeah. But guess who's behind us, though? And not, this doesn't actually really mean anything. It just has to do with like when their new episode releases and then when all their listeners download it. So behind us still at 192 is Gary Takis and the Thriving Dentist. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Dr. Mullally, 197, the Relentless Dentist. So they're behind us still.
Oh.
And then ahead of us. Yeah, so I don't feel so bad. I still feel like we're doing pretty good because you also have to understand there are hundreds of podcasts that aren't even on the top 200. So the Dental Hacks are 108.
It just sounds like this. It really means nothing in the grand scheme of things because there's so many variables to go into what
there
makes
are a lot
it
of variables.
Number one. But I don't care. I screenshotted that thing and it will be there forever.
I'm happy with it. Do you know, so in the same category, just so you guys have an understanding of like why we're so pumped, even if it's just for one or two days of our whole entire life that we were number one, it's because there is Star Talk. I don't know if you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is, but amazing astrophysicist. Just he's in the same category as we're at.
Oh, really?
Invisibilia is on that. Radiolab's on that. Hidden Brain's on there. TED Talks are on there.
What?
There's one that's called Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Yeah, I'm telling you, we beat all of these for a couple of days. And again, I understand that it's really like, I mean, it was just a couple
so
of days.
Many
so like
variables.
In the grand scheme of things, not that big of, but I'm so excited that we
it's
beat
pretty
them all.
Cool. I'll take it.
Yeah. So thank you again, listeners. And thank you again, Kara, for helping us out with that.
Who's our interview today, so, by the way?
None. We're not gonna do an interview today. I decided. Do you like when I do that to you? When I don't tell you what's going on? But you know who we do have left? We have the round table left, the teachers round table, educators round table from Chicago Midwinter. Mm-hmm. And we have Sandy Lee and I did one. That's a long one. It's like an hour and a half long. So we probably won't do a lot of intro stuff for that one.
Or we'll any.
Just release it. Yeah, or any. It's like, hey, this is episode 75 or whatever it's going to be. And then we have Cassandra still. We have her episode coming up. And so we have probably three pretty decent ones in the next couple of weeks that when we talk about what we're talking about today, I just didn't want that to be associated with anyone's episode necessarily.
Are we going to give a shout out to the really wonderful person that gave us a bad review?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
But before we do that, let's give some kudos and some comments to some of the good reviews that we have on there
Fair
since
enough.
Last time we talked.
Fair enough.
So Apparently I rated this and I didn't really realize I was doing that, but I rated it. I gave us 5 stars.
You rated us on the iTunes?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And then Megan Mir, M-I-R, Megan Mir, gave us 5 stars April 25th. So shout out to Megan. Thank you. It's titled Great for Future RDHs. And Megan says, I listened to this podcast for most of my time at dental hygiene school. Michelle and Andrew are entertaining and informative, and I would highly recommend to all first-year students or soon-to-be hygienists out there who love to learn beyond the boundaries of the classroom. Each week, there's something fresh and entertaining to fill in your study breaks. Awesome podcast with fantastic guests and hosts. Wasn't that nice?
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you.
That is fantastic.
That was wonderful.
That was super nice. I feel very, very happy.
Aw.
We also got some mail. I know, right? It's because she crushed it up this time before she put it into my stuff. And like
faster
it was like
into the bloodstream. Like well done, Allison.
Yes. As I'm looking up some of this other mail that we got this week, as you can probably imagine, remember how I gave you that picture? I was like really burnt all over my face.
Yeah, you're so dumb.
I know. Well, all week my skin has been kind of peeling, which is, I don't want to say it's new, but it's not the norm that my face is peeling like that.
Okay, let's hope not.
And it was gross. And now my arms are all peely. Look at that. I don't know if you can see that.
What?
Anyways.
Sunscreen, Andrew. For an albino person like yourself and even me. We have to wear sunscreen. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Mm-hmm. I'm a Nazi about sunscreen. You're very lucky I was not around. I would have sprayed you down like a child. I would have had people hold you down.
And I would have been crying about it the whole time. Okay. So some of our listener mail. We've actually got a lot of things this week. One of them is from Leslie. Leslie is one of our longest standing international fans. And I'm so happy because she was living in Belgium for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And she is going to be moving to Florida and we get to run into her at ADHA. And she just messaged us some stuff that she was moving over and we're happy that she's finally back in the States. So,
you know,
back,
one of the things that she said, you know, shout out to Leslie always because she's always such a good supporter of us. But she was mentioning like how weird it is to have people speak English around her now that she's back over here. And when I was in Sweden, well, I guess I was technically in Copenhagen when I was flying out. And I was sitting in like the lounge, the airport lounge, because, you know, I get a ton of sky miles. So that was like one of the perks of international travel was being in the lounge. And people were just sitting around me and it's like my ears literally perked up to the one person that spoke English. And I was like, oh, where are you from? I missed our language.
Oh.
It was kind of crazy. So I'm sure that is times like a million for her to come back over here and have everybody speaking our language. But I laughed really hard when I read that in her email because I'm serious. I probably like attacked the people. I had a really bad like trip to the airport, like just gotten confused and couldn't. They spelled Copenhagen different than I thought. It was just confusing. And they spelled it with a V and a K, and I was like, "What? Am I going to Copenhagen? I don't." Anyway, so I was like super like stressed out, and then the moment I heard like English, I was like, oh, "Friends, please be near me. I want to go home." It's being a baby.
I remember when I first came back from the Philippines, it was like that, and I think Leslie will probably understand this. There will be a lot of times when you say something that you like think makes sense in your head and then all of a sudden it doesn't. Like the one for me, okay, this is a really trivial thing to be concerned about, but the word hour, like O-U-R, O-U-R. I remember I was trying to explain something like, hey, our friend, but then in the Philippines they have like an inclusive and exclusive version of our. So like Michelle, if you and I were talking to Leslie, And it was your and my friend. It was our friend, mm-hmm. but not Leslie's friend. And I was talking to Leslie and I was like, hey, our friend so-and-so. But I was like, but not your friend, our friend. Like, I felt like the need to always explain exactly who I was talking about.
Interesting.
Because in the Philippines, you had a word that delineated that already for you. So you just used the appropriate word. And so those types of things, and she'll probably figure out, like, there are some weird, some things that make more sense in different languages than in our language.
Yeah.
Okay. More mail.
More mail.
Okay. This is a really interesting one. This is actually posted to my Facebook wall. This is from Tony. Shout out to Tony. Let's see. It says, shout out to you and your podcast. I was in a meeting for the Dental Hygiene Association Australia. My colleague next to me said, I should listen to your podcast. I said, too late. Already do.
That's awesome. So awesome. Really awesome. Oh, like, man. How are we how amazing in Australia is that? And anybody cares about anything that we say? But it's great.
But shout out to Australians, because we actually have quite a few downloads in Australia.
Oh, very cool.
Quite a few. You know what else I wanted to do today?
Sure.
Since we have a little extra time, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on our highest states. Oh, by the way, we have over 50,000 downloads. I don't know if I threw that out there lately.
You did not, numbers guy, which is shocking. Or
50,000 downloads.
I ignored you.
You guys are all morons for listening to us for that long. It's so crazy. Australia, by the way, is number 4 in our countries. We have 74 countries now that we're in.
Way to hold it down, Australia.
They are the 4th highest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me zoom into the United States right there, who's like 94% of our downloads are from the United States. So quite a few listeners in the United States. Okay, here we go. Top 10, or maybe top 9. Top 9.
States?
Go ahead, Michelle. What do you think states that have the highest download numbers for all times?
Washington.
Washington is number 4.
All right.
Thank you, Washington.
Utah.
Utah is no longer in the running.
Oh.
Utah was one of our early adopters, but I must have pissed them off quite something fierce, but they are no longer in
it.
Good
job, Andrew. Then
sorry, Utahans.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is number 7.
All right.
Which I'm kind of surprised. We have a lot of friends that live there. They need to pick it up, Wisconsin. But I love you guys still.
Yeah, don't tick off another state, please.
No, I need to start pandering to people.
Texas?
Texas is number 3.
You're doing good. Yay.
No, number 2 and number 3 are very, it's a closely contested battle now when it used to not be.
California?
California is number 1, a commanding lead by over 1,000 downloads.
Wow.
So good job, California.
New Mexico?
No, I think they're like second to last, I think.
Dang. All right, so I'm negative 2 on this one. Okay.
You get one more strike and then I'm going to just tell you all of them.
Damn, Andrew.
Think about the population basis of the people.
Florida
is number 6, just above Wisconsin. Couldn't believe that one.
New York.
Number 5, right above Florida. Nice.
How many do I still need to get?
You still need to get number 2, number 8, number 9.
Oregon.
That is number 9.
Right. And then trying to think of all of our popular states in the past. Michigan? Dang. All right.
Illinois is number 2. I mean, Chicago, obviously.
Okay.
Illinois. Right.
It was a toss-up.
And South Carolina.
What?
I know. They started loving you all of a sudden again. They were not giving you very much love for a long time. But South Carolina is number 8.
Shut your mouth.
I know.
For how long,
but
though?
But here's what
like
I want to point
week?
Out. I know. Yeah, I don't know. I could probably research that, but here's what I want to point out. And this is, and I know you hate when I say this, but California, Oregon, and Washington, the whole West Coast is on the top 10.
Oh yeah. No,
I don't think it's because I live on the West Coast, but you and I have talked about this before. It's people are invested in CE and in getting better in their profession. And, you know, I think that, you know, I'm not trying to compare them to necessarily other states, but I think that we all need to be a little bit more invested in CE and getting better by listening to podcasts or reading journals or whatever we need to do to get better at our profession. But I'm very proud of the West Coast.
Good job, West Coasters. Now, if the East Coast could pick it up, that would be great. Stop making me look bad, guys. That'd be really, really, really great.
Well, yeah, Florida.
And New York.
New York. So as a saving grace, though, Salt Lake City is number 9 on the all-time download list for cities. Mm. So maybe I didn't make them so mad, but I don't know, maybe I did. Okay, so there's that. And now let's go back to our
fan mail.
Maybe not so nice review.
Oh, good times. Excited for this one.
So let me read this, and this is going to sound like Michelle and I are a bunch of crybabies, but let me I think we have a reason of why this happened, but we're not for sure.
Well, postulated this. We really don't know why. We really don't, but it was just the timing. Yeah, and there's no way for us to find out.
Yeah. Okay. So it's from April 20th, 2017. It's entitled "I Just Can't" by Lacey G22. They say, "I wanted to really like this because I live and breathe dentistry. I just can't waste my time listening to people that are not current and up on current modalities. It's kind of everything I'm against. Boring. And the fact that these two lecture to anyone and don't seem to even read current literature is shocking and sad." So let's dissect this one little thing. First of all, like we talked about, I don't think that this is actually a listener, because when it says we're not up to date and things like that, well, I mean, we are. Like your whole segment is from, what's the oldest article that you read for Storytime?
Maybe 2012, maybe.
Maybe 2012. So maybe 5 years old.
And that might have just been one or two of those.
Most of them are for, 2015? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So only a couple years old. So that part's interesting to us. What do you think, Michelle? Why do you think this happened?
It funny that it fell on just after I got in a Facebook argument.
A big Facebook argument.
I keep saying one day.
And they said similar things too, yeah, in this argument, where they're like, get up to date on your stuff.
And then you quote me 2011 article. Got it, lady. I'm going to learn one day to not engage on Facebook, but I just literally can't. I can't help myself. I have behaved myself.
Yeah.
I got off of that after a while. But we're arguing about implant maintenance, which is actually why I am now the moderator on a new Facebook page called Dental Implants Uncovered. Mm-hmm. And that is put on by our friends Melissa Obratka and Siobhan Healy, who have a new business called RDH Innovations. And I'm with Susan Ingrove, who literally wrote the textbook on implants. Edie Gibson, who is just smart and great all around, and talks about implants, actually wrote the curriculum for one of the ADIA and ICOI's accreditation for implant accreditation program. Our credentialing program. Mm-hmm. And then Melissa's doctor, who is a prosthodontist, and they see tons of implant maintenance patients. So I was just really honored, especially after that nonsense, to even be asked to be on that, since I was like, I can't. I am going to learn to be, because one of the things too I need to stop doing is either drinking wine and getting on Facebook, or waking up and having coffee, literally out of the gate, before I barely even get out of bed, checking Facebook. And
Yeah.
Not even having, like, my brain's not even turned all the way on and saying things to comments. And then
it's your filter. Your filter hasn't been either turned on
and it's
or
a
kept
thin
on
filter at that. So I really need to wait until it has awakened with the rest of my body or has not been shut down by wine. And so, I mean, I was probably pretty short with when they were saying, like, use stainless steel scalers on implants. And I'm like, well, yeah, that goes against everything that research says, but whatever. I mean, I'm going to learn to deliver my message.
That sounds exactly like you. Well, no one knows you. Yeah. That I mean, they know you, but they don't know you in that context. And so I think that that's kind of frustrating on your end, where you're like, you kind of have to qualify yourself every time you say something on Facebook when you shouldn't really have to. And on my end, and not to embarrass you too much, because you hate getting like praise and stuff, but you're actually one of the better speakers that I've listened to on implant maintenance. And I've heard a few lately. Yeah, I know. And I feel like your delivery method's pretty good. And so if I was going to actually learn from anybody,
you know,
I might try and learn from
since
you.
After
I think that people are doing their disservice.
The podium, you told me I did not sound like myself. I sounded too professional. I thought that was.
You do sound too professional. I want you to kind of knock
that
off.
I actually did take that to heart and got a little bit. I wish you could have come and saw me in Seattle when I was giving that one. Because I did. I took it to heart and really kind of thought on that and didn't want to be too like preachy or like there, you know, there's no other way. So I kind of got a little jokey up there.
Here's what it is. You're such a funny person and you probably don't even mean to be half the time. We're mostly laughing at you, not
Thank
with
you.
You kind of
that
things.
That makes me more happy.
But you're welcome. But like, when people get up and lecture in front of a room, no one wants the rigidity that we get a lot of times, especially something that can be as dry
as implant maintenance.
Let's be honest, implant maintenance. I mean, come on, this is how you clean these areas better. I mean, it can be boring. But first of all, your delivery style makes it so it's not boring, even though you are professional. But I think it would just elevate it that much more if you were a little bit more personable and less like, hey, this is the... Let me read you the research. Well, anyways, you weren't that bad. I just, whatever. You weren't like you are like with me right now on the podcast.
Right. Well, and you know, and the other thing is that I do lecture on it. I do not claim to be the expert on it by any way, shape or form. And after that whole debacle on Facebook where they literally told me my research was old and then quoted me something from 2011, which then, because I'm a psycho, read that article and then went and read each one of the quoted articles within that article, and they were from the 90s. So I just want to go there. Like, so yeah, Dimensions put this 2011 article, but at least five articles were like from the 90s. So, all right, yes. Hygienists out there, we want to stay up to date and read our journals, but look at the references. When's that research coming from? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is the best research that we have. Like, if you look at gingival stimulation, the last article is like from the 70s or the 80s. Like, nobody's having fun time with research on gingival stimulation. So yeah, we have to still apply that with clinical significance. But on the flip side, there is literally every month new research coming about on implants. So to quote me something from 2011 and then tell me my research after I just developed this whole presentation and spent, I'm not kidding you, every single day, probably for a month, the presentation alone had 16,000 editing hours on it. I'm sorry, 16,000 editing minutes on it because it kept crashing on me. And the guy at the Mac store was like, well, this file is freaking huge, you maniac. So I'm not saying I'm the expert on implants. I actually am so sick of talking about implants. I'm going to talk about natural teeth, but it is where a lot of confusion is. So it's like I can't leave it, or I read something on freaking Facebook that says the complete opposite of research. But don't you worry, Facebook people. After that, I got really annoyed, and I have read every article that I could ever find about scalers, and I'm going to write an article about it. So appreciate you for an article idea.
And so that's what you guys get. That's what you guys get from Michelle. I mean, she's kind of a maniac when it comes to that kind of boring, crappy research that no one else wants to do in life. Yep. She'll do it because she's a freak. Freak.
But I also don't like being wrong, one. And I also don't like being confused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it took me aback that everyone was like, the comments were all over the place. And it made me go, what are these people just late in their research? Or are they reading research that's saying something that's different than my research? So I just kind of took it upon myself to read everything. And I will say it is very conflicting. So I'm going to write an article about it.
So that gets me into another thing that happened this week that I shouldn't have made a comment. I just threw in my 2 cents on one comment for the first time in forever.
Sorry.
And I want to kind of put this out there on the podcast. Okay, here's the thing. So the question was, and this might be a terrible summary of it, but a patient comes in and needs scaling and root planing. And the gist of the question was, do I prophy first and then do scaling and root planing on the second appointment? Or do I do scaling and root planing and never prophy? Or like, how do I handle this? And their doctors were having some conflicting views and opinions. And so my 2 cents was, you SRP the teeth that need to SRP and you prophy the teeth that need prophy. And the comments I kept reading, no one really replied necessarily to my comment, but the comments I kept reading was like, you never do a prophy first. You're going to get a perio abscess. It's going to happen. The tissues are going to get so tight that you're not going to be able to get your scalers down there. And I'm just like, you know, again, this is just my 2 cents. And, you know, apparently based on what that one comment was, you should never listen to me anyways, because I don't have good research, but I've been doing this a long time and I've done a lot of prophying first and then have them doing a reval and then doing SRP on the areas I need SRP. And I've never had the tissue tighten up so much around the cervical region that I can't get my scalers in there. And I've never caused a perio abscess, not once in my entire life, nor have I seen a perio abscess because of that happening. And I've seen, how many hours do I work? 40 to 60 a week. And so that's 40 to 60 patients on average a week times 8 years of my career. Never seen it once. Never happened to any of my coworkers. I think I would have seen it by now if that was something that happens.
Well, the thing is that, and I honestly don't have the most current research on that kind of protocol, but we also have to take what research we have and make it clinically significant, right? Like make it work within our practice. Mm-hmm. And there, I agree with you. I've never had somebody do, I would almost always give them the chance again, and which my comment back to you was OHI boot camp. Like, put them through it. Get them to do their own stuff. It's about biofilm removal, and calculus is an irritant, but it's the biofilm within the calculus that is the irritant in reality. So if a patient can actually do it themselves, they could shrink back that tissue just with good home care. You removing, disrupting the biofilm with a prophy, which I don't even want to call it a prophy. I would call it like biofilm removal because prophy says health, you know?
Sure.
So if we're using the correct vocabulary, right. But biofilm removal appointment, teaching home care, get them on board and then bring them back, because a 4 and 5 millimeter pocket that bleeds could change, and you didn't even need to do non-surgical scaling and root planing. But then there's also the moments where there is that irritant, that little hotel for the biofilm that just needs to be gone. Mm-hmm. And then you get back in there. But yeah, but that tissue stays inflamed even with that irritant in there. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have the tissue mm-hmm. shrink up to the point where I can't. And not to mention instrument design these days. They're teeny tiny little right. mini things. Like you can get down even there.
Yeah, super thin. Even if you... mm-hmm. And here's the other thing about that though. Like using those instruments, okay, SRP is scaling and a root planing. So planing on the roots. Do you really have root exposure? I guess that's kind of my biggest thing too. Is like, okay, well, if you have posterior pocketing, you know, mostly molars, but possibly premolars as well. Do you really need to scale and replane the lower anteriors? I don't care if there's a crap ton of calculus. Are those root surfaces exposed and can you access them and are you replaning? If you are, then absolutely. You should be billing that out accordingly. But don't just call it scaling and root planing if you're not planing roots all as part of the procedure. I guess maybe that's a little bit too like on the nose and maybe I should be a little bit more forgiving, but I'm like, just bill out what you're actually doing and document what you're actually completing. And, you know, I know we have to work with the insurance game and that's hard too, but I mean, you can do a profi at a no charge. That way the insurance, you don't have to bill it to insurance, but you're at least documenting and covering yourself if you ever have to explain what you're doing to for the patient.
And you and I have very different places where we practice. I mean, your practice is just very different. I'm not even fully practicing. Where I'm at is in an outreach program where I'm volunteering, where it's free or super cheap anyway. But if I think back on the game you have to play within an office, the insurance person, front desk person has no clue, you know, like, or office manager.
Right.
And this is not most offices. Well, all offices. I think it's a smaller percentage that has their stuff together. But the mass majority of people are just struggling to even get them to not call it a profi and call it a periodontal maintenance. Like, so I try not to, I'm trying to keep that in the back of my head, that there is so many other little battles, but if we could all just get it on board with either calling it the right thing, diagnosing properly,
right,
and billing out for what you did.
Yep. I agree with that because that's exactly the thing. I think we're so caught up on the terminology that it's like profi can only be for health and this and that. I'm like, I get what you guys are saying. I totally get it. I'm glad that they created a new code for like a intermediate, you know, the scaling in the presence of gingival disease. All that's fantastic. And maybe we do need a few more codes to kind of figure out what's going on. But I also think that, you know, a certain workflow should happen so that we're all on the same page with workflows as well. But again, keeping in mind, all of this is nonsense. What's really important is just getting your patient healthy. And, you know, hopefully you and your doctors can kind of get on the same page of what to call it and do what's right in your office, do ethical treatment, and get your patients healthy.
It's a hard conversation to have when you are jumping state to state. And that's where I think Facebook is not as helpful. Because the way that you practice and the way that I practice and the way somebody in Missouri practices, there's just going to be so much that's different. And everyone gets on their high horse and gets really offended because they're saying, like, well, that's not what I do in my office. Like, and I don't want to put the West Coast or even Colorado, any of the states that are a little bit more progressive, not that I want to put you on blast, but sometimes it comes off very condescending to a state that is literally trying to fight the battle to even get anesthesia in their office, like, or for hygienists to do that. And it's not that we don't want to be you or have that same standard, but it's that we are fighting a battle at such a much lower level than you right now that we can't even see outside of that, right? You know, we can't even see the war for all the little battles that we have to get through, and the war being getting patients healthier, which is difficult. That's difficult.
And I get that. And I do come off that way. And I apologize.
Oh, I do too.
Keep saying that
all the time.
I want to say the proof is in the pudding a lot of times because, you know, look at our numbers or you've lectured in certain areas that, and it's not necessarily a West Coast, East Coast, North, South, anything like that, but there are pockets, even within our own states, that are more geared towards getting better and people are not necessarily there or whatever. But
I think we struggle, and I say we, and I'm throwing you under this umbrella with me, because we are on this podcast and because we are listening and talking to all these people. But I think we become a little bit condescending and a little pretentious in the world of dental hygiene because we are learning so much And it's almost like the more you know,
that's true,
the more you're just like, well, how do you not know this? How do you not know this? And you have to almost take your, yeah.
You like, get disgusted.
What are you doing? And it's so hard, which again, going back to where this conversation started in our wonderful one-star review, is that I'm going to try to learn to deliver my message on Facebook a little bit better. Because I can do a little self-reflection and see that like five word sentence of do better, this is not the research, it's not going to come across well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what part of the country we're even talking about where, God, somebody might live in like the tiniest town of the hardest, like blue collar workers that will never choose an implant. They're just not. They just financially can't choose that. And
yeah.
So they're never going to see an implant. And so they might say something so ridiculous. And I got to remember that they weren't in an office. They're not sitting in doing this research. They're not sitting in every damn educational course that they could come across where I have. So I just, I'm going to try real hard.
Can I also just make a shout out to the Dental Hacks episode that just launched or released probably, I think it was last Fridays, but it might've been the Fridays before that. It was a round table that they were talking with a bunch of doctors about when do you save a tooth? When do you plan an implant? When do you do removables? What do you do? And so I think there's four of them on the panel. That was a really good episode. I'm about 3/4 of the way through it. But if you have a chance to go over to Dental Hacks and download that episode, I think it was really good.
I actually haven't listened to them in a while. I've been catching up with Prism Podcast, which is, our friend Grant Ritchie and Jason Lipscomb or,
Luchtefeld.
Thank you. I was going to say Jason Lipscomb. He was a previous co-host. Now they're, his name is Clay and he's a pediatric hospitalist, but it's, a little bit more towards the skeptical side. So I've kind of been like, I just want to hear that side of things too and their reasoning. And because I can be a little wooey sometimes, but I also love the science side of it. So I'm excited to hear both of them. So I need to kind of probably jump back to my traditional Dental Hacks and Dr. B and all of our original favorites.
And that's something too, listeners, if you're just now coming on to listen to our podcast, you know, we've in earlier episodes, we talked a lot about the different types of dental podcasts that we listen to. Dental Hacks is a big one for us. It was kind of, I don't want to say the founding podcast. It was our gateway drug. But there's so many, I think there's 44, 45 or more out there. Mom Genus is obviously a hygienist one that we really like. Carrie's podcast, something that we really like. The Passionate Dentist, Relentless Dentist. Dr. Howard Ferran has one that comes out like every day. Oh, what about the new one, the Millennial Dentist? Have you listened to that very much?
I've listened to a few episodes of those. The problem is there's just so many.
I like them.
And not enough time.
There's so many. Yep. That's true.
Because then I, believe it or not, I do go outside of dentistry every now and again. And I listen to NPR Politics and I listen to Stuff You Should Know. And I'm really into How I Built This, which is about even like the Southwest. So anybody from like who created Spanx, who created Southwest, who created Blue Apron, like those people are on there and they talk about how they started these companies. And then Mike Rowe, The Way I Heard It.
I love his. I love his a lot.
He's great.
I usually watch the video version of it just because it's always on Facebook or whatever. But
I didn't even know he had a video version. So there are some podcasts outside of it.
When he's reading like the letters from his mom, you ever listen to those ones? She is so funny. It makes so much sense of like where he gets his, everything,
everything.
Outlook, his wit, his everything.
I love his wit.
I'm a big fan of like the Gimlet podcast. So speaking of outside of dentistry, so Reply All is a pretty big one. The Startup is a pretty good one. They have a couple of other ones like Crime Town that's kind of catching my eye a little bit more. But the startup is more kind of like what you were saying about the other one where they have, hey, this is how, this company was started as a startup and then this is what happened to it. They were just talking about Friendster. Do you remember Friendster?
Like, seriously, how many years ago was that? 12?
So that was before MySpace.
I was going to say.
So it was the original. So it's like the original Facebook. And so not to ruin it for you guys, if you're going to go listen to it, but basically they were just mismanaged. They didn't have, enough bandwidth or whatever to be able to handle all the traffic that they had. Then MySpace ended up kind of coming on the scene. Friendster ended up going and being sold to an Asian company. And then the Asian company ended up selling components of it back to Facebook. And it was just, I don't know.
That's cool.
It was insane. So those are the ones I'm listening to right now.
Oh, that sounds similar to Airbnb. Airbnb was on there. I'm talking about the band.
Oh, really?
And Instagram. The creator of
that
Instagram.
That one sounds really good.
Yeah, he's good. It's an NPR one, How I Built This. But they have a lot of big names. But they were talking about bandwidth. And I was like, damn, I never even thought about that. Like, if you're an app, like, you need to have the bandwidth and a server and all of that. Blew my mind.
Well, think about, like, a dental office. And if you're going to be doing, like, CBCT, where are you going to store all that information?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's applicable to so many things. You just don't have enough
room. It
really
is.
Those files are huge. So, switching gears on you again. Did you see what I posted earlier about who liked our Facebook page?
No.
Hellrider. Hellrider likes your page, A Tale of Two Hygienists.
What is a Hellrider?
That's the person that liked it.
Their name is Hellrider.
You should go look at our Facebook post that I posted for us.
Oh.
And I put it was our singular goal for the podcast is to get this person to like our page. And we've done it. So we could probably just quit now.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Wash our hands of this podcast.
Yeah.
So going back to our bad review, because let's do...
Are we not done with that yet?
I do think that it really upset you, though. And I was just like, seems like another day in my life. But that was the week that
I was
pissing everybody off.
Well, it was
because
the whole Mean Girls thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's my own personal take on it. I feel like it wasn't directed at me. I feel like it was really directed at you. And I feel like this is what happened. You got in a fight with someone on Facebook. They went and stalked you to see who you were. They found you and the podcast. And then they're like, well, let me get back at them for doing whatever. And then I'm going to trash them on this. And, they might've seen that we've had nothing but 5 stars this whole entire time, which we only have 18 reviews. So it's not that many, but so you always talk about Mean Girls. I'm like, this is maybe a firsthand look at it. I'm like, that's kind of stupid. It's kind of stupid that people are like that, when obviously they're not really a listener because none of the things that they said made sense because they say that these two people go out and lecture. It's like, I'm sorry if I may have misconstrued it, but I don't really lecture all that much. I've done a dozen lectures professionally. I mean, it's really not that. I'm not a lecturer. I even say that in my lectures that I do. I say I don't do this. So to lump me in on that, I'm like, no, that's not accurate. Not accurate at all. So most of their stuff is just meritless and that kind of whatever. Yeah. But I don't want to talk about that anymore because it was like that was a long time ago, and I'm done with that.
But I just want to say I love her heading was. I just can't.
And
so we would like to say you really shouldn't. Don't listen.
Then don't.
Then don't.
It's fine with us.
Then don't.
Oh my gosh.
And I think that's what we said from our very first episode was this is our podcast and we'll do what the hell we want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously we need listeners to listen to us, but we'd probably still do this anyways. If
we
wouldn't have any listeners.
We would, okay, because so we get to meet great people.
So that's true. So let's finish up this episode by saying what is coming up. Like we're level setting again today, just kind of setting the record straight of what we want to do with this podcast. Where do we want to go from where we're at now?
I want to do more roundtables. We said that from the beginning. We wanted to, we sure. needed to do more round tables. The problem is that it's the audio quality that comes with round tables. It's just if people don't have microphones and they don't have their certain tracks, that gets difficult. So one day we're going to figure out a way to do better round tables.
I have a way.
Oh, good.
I have a way to do that. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
So there is a recorder out there that records, I'll have to look it up again, but I want to say it's like 8 tracks in one record. Like the one we have now does 4. I can buy an attachment so we can have 6, but this other one does 8. And so if I purchase that, then I need to purchase some more microphones though. But when we go to, you know, on location, like all the conferences, we could easily do more round tables. What we would need though is a couple of things. One, I need to make more money. Two,
problem number
we
one.
We need more listeners. So that goes back on you guys as our listeners. Maybe go and grab your friend's phone, download our podcast, hit subscribe so that they are always getting the feed. Because the more listeners we have when we go to these shows, these conferences, then people come to us and say, hey, let's do a roundtable real quick. And we're like, okay, let's start it. Michelle and I have no problem like starting the roundtable, but sometimes it's hard for us to create the idea of what we want to talk about
right. Because
we don't know who you are. But if you come and find us and tell us, hey, let's talk about this, we're more than game to do that. So I think that those are really the only barriers. And I guess the third one is just making sure that we're at more conferences, which is a goal that we're going to do anyways.
Well, this also goes to speak pretty truly of our podcast that you and I have we're so similar, but we're so different at the same time. I was not talking about being in person. That's where you always want to be, is in person.
Oh yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
If we don't have interviews that are in person, Andrew is annoyed by it. Which I get audio quality is better, but I
want
to find a way to have these wonderful conversations when we can all be in separate places, because I feel like that it puts us into a bubble of just a few times a year when we can interact with people, whereas I want to interact with people all the time. Like when an idea comes up.
Well,
so there's got to be a better way to do roundtables in a virtual, digital kind of way.
I'm sure there is.
One day.
Okay. So here's the thing about that on my end. I don't do well talking to people when I only see their face. Like I have a hard time. Like I read a lot of body language and I have a hard time asking questions. I hate the lag time. There even just is a minute of lag time. Then I get too frustrated that I can't jump in when I want to jump in. I can't say what I want to say when I say it. Like there's a disconnect and then they pause and then it's dumb. I don't like it. But like when we're talking in person, then there's not that disconnect.
I get that. I totally do. But I feel like there's moments when we miss out on really great opportunities because of that. Not because of you, but because that we aren't in all the... So I think that there's got to be a way for us to have this nice little happy medium between in-person and digital virtual kind of roundtable moments. But
we'll keep working on it.
We're going to keep working on it. So that's where I would like to see the podcast go, is the more conversational, maybe even like one a month if we could do that. But it's so hard.
You know what I say? This is my personal opinion again.
Which means I'm starting nothing a new podcast. To me.
I said that.
Sorry.
I know. Everyone knows I'm starting a new podcast. It's going to come out in 2018. It's going to be a fantastic one. But I think Michelle needs to start her own podcast too.
Well, it's so funny
I thought about
that
another
you said
one.
That because I actually will be starting my own podcast.
Isn't that awesome? Nothing's going to happen to this podcast, though, listeners.
No.
I mean,
this is actually...
This isn't going
so
away.
So Andrew's is going to be definitely more highly produced, I guess I should say, more highly produced.
Yeah.
Mine is going to be more of a think tank of... Let's just battle it out and have these Facebook conversations, but in real life. But with people that might be routine people on the podcast, but also people who are going to be, I mean, something as nerdy as statisticians coming in and breaking down the research for us to maybe even having nurses or patients or somebody on there that's kind of either we can argue and have these very intelligent conversations, our higher level conversations with, or not saying you're not. I see your look. Not saying that.
No, I'm just saying you're going to be on this.
I'm going to be moderating. Did you not listen
to anything that person. Okay.
I'm going to have much smarter people than I am on there. Or just conversations where we can just be open-minded going into something that we really don't have any idea on, or we have an understanding, but it's just so slight, and maybe have it come out with a change of an opinion or a different way to practice or, you know, something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know. I think that there's a lot of places that this is going to end up going to, and we need you listeners. We want you. We want you to be a part of this. We want you to be, you know, help us with ideas. We got another email that said, hey, here's a doctor that used to teach at Loma Linda and you should contact him. So thank you again for that email. We are going to contact him. I've actually watched some of his YouTube videos. He's really funny. He talks on cariology. I like him already. Hopefully we can get him on. There'll be a lot of really cool things coming up, and we'll keep bringing some amazing, amazing guests, obviously not on this episode, but on a different episode coming forward. So I said at least 200 episodes for this podcast, but it looks like we might end up having to do more.
Well, we're only at 73.
We're only at 73. That's a lot of hours.
It's a lot of you and me seeing each other on this silly little go-to meeting.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for letting me know ahead of time that I didn't need to read the chapter 3 of my story time.
You're welcome. You're prepared for next time. Yes, I am. That's all.
But good call, because I agree. We don't want to put any my nonsense shenanigan yelling at bad reviews on anyone else's interview.
No, we don't. We don't want all that complaining business to be on anyone else's. But here's the other thing too. We wanted to also mention before we end, come find us at ADHA.
Yes.
Come find us at RDH Under One Roof. We're going to be at both of those. We want to have lots more roundtables and just even individual episodes. Come find us. Come take a picture with us. It'd be really awesome. We'd love it.
Yes. So true. We love our listeners. And we honestly, we have the best listeners out of all the dental podcasts. We really do. The most interactive. Yeah. And so we appreciate that. And we appreciate you for even suggesting listening to us. And the people that we have on, the amazing people that we have on.
Awesome.
All right. Well, have a good week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yes.